Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Debbie Guy Geesh of the Pedowitz Group, and welcome to Ignite Demand Generation on Blog Talk Radio. Every month, this innovative series delivers proven ideas, techniques, and many examples of how you can deliver a measurable contribution to your company. The content for our series is provided by a wide array of nationally recognized experts and everyday practitioners. And each issue, whether through the email series or through Blog Talk Radio, provides you with practical insight you won't find anywhere else. For more information on the Ignite Demand Generation series, please visit our website at www.pedowitzgroup.com. I am so pleased to introduce our guest today. Her name is Kristen Diamond, and Kristen is the Senior Marketing Manager for ModusLink, an international supply chain company. And at ModusLink, Kristen has a very big job. She is responsible for global demand generation. Kristen, welcome to the show. All righty. Where are you? Kristen, are you on? Kristen?
Hello.
Hey, how are you this morning?
Oh, I've been here. I've been listening to you. Sorry about that.
Some technical difficulties,
it seems.
Oh, yeah, it's okay. Sometimes that happens because we are streaming live through the internet right now. So.
Oh, I see.
I did the introduction. We'll cut this piece out. And I'm going to say, Kristen, welcome to the show. And you're going to say?
Thank you, Debbie. It's good to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. So when I was thinking about the interview, I had about a million and one questions that I put together, but I've boiled it down to only about six in the interest of time.
No problem.
Let's begin, Kristen, by telling us a little bit about your company, ModusLink, and the
okay.
role you play in demand generation.
Certainly. So ModusLink is a provider of global outsourced supply chain solutions, and what that truly means is that we execute upon critical business processes on behalf of our clients. It could be anything from consulting on their supply chain needs, demand planning, some sourcing and supply-based management. We also do some manufacturing and product configuration for our clients, all the way through logistics management, some e-commerce support, and also some aftermarket care and support in that side. We focus on traditionally high-tech industries, and I've been doing so for about 27 years and really just starting to see some strong growth in the next couple of years as we go through and really build out some new business initiatives for our organization, which I guess leads to my role in the company in demand generation. This is a relatively new and smaller group within our marketing organization. We've been a group for about 18 months now and have evolved rather quickly from really providing a lot of research on new clients to our sales organization now to creating this globally integrated demand generation engine to support our strong growth initiatives in the company. And my role is really just to lead that team and to put some strategy behind how we're going to find and target some new companies and some new industries as well within our organization.
So now tell me, now you currently have an actual formal strategic demand generation in place. Why don't you tell me a little bit about why you decided to take the time to actually put a formal document together?
Well, we are a small and I guess I call us scarce resources within our organization. And to be the most efficient and effective group, it really lended itself to putting this plan together. And, you know, what that means is taking a step back, taking a look at the strategic initiatives of our entire organization and going ahead and making sure we map to the strategic initiatives of our organization and how our company goes to market and really put down in place on paper how we're going to go about and target these new companies and these new get these new leads on board. So it was important to get it organized on paper so that we were able to include all of the various elements that were required to make this engine sing, if you will.
So I imagine that when you were putting the plan together, it wasn't just like we have it on a piece of paper. There was probably a process that you used as you were creating the plan to get buy-in across the organization.
Certainly. Well, you know, there's a lot of elements that go into the plan, anywhere from just raw analysis of, you know, existing historical data to feedback and input from our various sales leaders and also some of our leaders who manage our existing base accounts today. What we did was we'd send out basically some snippets or pieces of the plan that we thought were going to be important and asked for a lot of input back. We really felt it was important to collaborate with our sales peers. And you know, at the end of the day, what we're doing is supporting their efforts and making sure that they're successful. So, you know, we went back and forth at various times through the planning process and asked for some feedback and some collaborative, you know, sharing.
Okay. And what were the key elements of your plan? What are the key elements?
The key elements. Okay, so there's a lot of moving parts in this plan. We have been historically traditional physical marketing. We spend a lot of time going to trade shows and things of that nature. And what we're doing now is we're shifting towards more of a digital environment. While the physical marketing aspects will continue, we're really looking to up our demand generation efforts through things such as webinars and e-campaigns and things of that nature. So the elements that went into this new plan were a lot of the infrastructure behind creating that side of the engine. And so there's, things anything from analysis of, you know, pipeline wins, losses, so that we could really focus on which solutions that we wanted to market, to understanding what the buyer and how the buyer needs to be messaged to. We had all kinds of elements around, you know, what's our lead process look like. Lead scoring is something that we're moving into. Haven't had that in the past, but now that we've done our diligence, realize that that's going to be a critical element to this plan. So, you know, a lot of moving parts, a lot of things really focused on the buyer and really focused on creating this engine that can almost run on its own, so that we are putting a lot of data into it, but that each step of the way, it's a seamless process on how that target then moves into a lead, then moves into a qualified lead, then moves into, you know, a sales opportunity.
So clearly I hear in your plan lots of moving parts, and I think that's always true with these plans, is because you live in a very dynamic environment within the company. And I clearly heard the focus or a focus toward digital and online marketing and those kinds of things. Were there any key elements in your plan that you used to kind of set the tone for what you would be doing with senior management based on the scarcity of resources that you have?
We did two things, I'd say. There's one thing was we mapped back to our company goals. Our CEO, at any time he is with a group of ModusLink employees, he puts up a slide around our company goals and objectives. And what we did was we mapped our demand generation efforts exactly to those goals so that they could see we are focusing and targeting to our company's goals. And the second piece we did was we put together some guiding principles. And what these said was they really set the foundation for how we were going to spend the next fiscal year and moving into even the fiscal year after that. And these were really tracking back to how we were going to spend our time and efforts. And it is what we will, I guess, message internally and to ourselves in our own groups to make sure that we are staying focused and on target, because we do have a huge goal in front of us. And we are a scarce resource, so we wanted to make sure through guiding principles that we were always going at it from a foundation.
So how many guiding principles do you have in your plan?
Today we have 5.
And can you give us an example of what one was?
Sure. So one of the guiding principles was that we were going to create this plan that was aligned to the company strategic initiatives. Another one would be that, you know, we're basing this plan on the way customers buy today. And since we are also a global company, we focus this plan at a global level. So we are, you know, in quotes, think globally and acting locally, so that we are making sure that our efforts are globally built, and that if leads come into the organization, they come into the organization at a global level, but will be brought down to the local folks in the local regions. But we're not building a demand generation plan region by region by region.
Okay, excellent. So how long have you been working on putting the plan together?
Oh, geez. What's today? Today's June 2nd. So we have been working on this plan for, I'd say, probably a good 3 months. It's not quite complete, but we've got a really great head start, and our fiscal year starts in August. So we're well out ahead of that type of go-live date.
That is excellent. And how long, I mean, what has surprised you most about putting this plan together, anything surprise you about the process?
Nothing's truly surprised me about the process, or overwhelmingly. I'm somewhat surprised by the amount of analysis that we did in order to get to our focus. We really didn't want to. We made a lot of assumptions going ahead of the planning process where we thought we needed to go, and then we basically validated or unvalidated certain aspects of it through analysis. And so it was surprising to me, I guess, how much we could look at from our historical pipeline results and our historical lead generating efforts at really where we should target and focus our efforts going forward. So we were able to, you know, discredit certain campaign types, and we were able to say, okay, this campaign type was really effective for us, so how can we repeat it again? All the way through, we offer something like 23 solutions, services to our clients. Which of those are going to give us the biggest bang for our buck? Again, knowing that we are scarce resources and we have a huge growth path in front of us.
Okay.
So I guess the amount of analysis would be the thing that surprised me the most. That was required, and it was a smart thing to do for us.
But, again, it sounds like it had a really good result for you in getting buy-in across the company.
Absolutely. Yeah, it just validated our approach. It validated, I think some of the sales leaders even said, yep, that makes a whole lot of sense. I never really looked at it on paper that way, but those are definitely the solutions that we should focus on because they seem to be the most sellable and where the trends are heading for our organization.
That is excellent. Tell us a little bit about the measures that you have put in place in the plan.
The measures. So we measure, I guess, throughout. We measure along the way. We measure success of campaigns at the various high level, and then we also measure down each lead, so, you know, converting to leads, targets converting to leads, leads converting to qualified leads, or marketing qualified leads, leads converting from a marketing qualified lead all the way through SQLs, and then through opportunity development in the advanced pipeline and close rates.
Okay. And are you having to produce basically the same number of marketing qualified leads in 2009 that you did in 2008? Are you guys in a steady growth pattern?
We are in a very strong growth pattern. Steady, I think, probably is a little bit understated. We are looking at a strong growth rate, but we are also looking to augment that huge growth rate with better qualification and further qualification of each lead so that we are not sending a deluge of raw inquiries over to our sales organization. That's probably going to be our biggest process improvement fiscal year over fiscal year.
Okay, excellent. And what would you say is the ultimate outcome of your plan?
The ultimate outcome? Well, everything in our company is really measured by contribution to the pipeline. So we will be looking to increase what we presented to the pipeline last year to this year. So our ultimate outcome will be a higher number of leads, but they will be further developed and further along and hopefully further convertible so that we contribute more to the pipeline than ever before.
Absolutely, and that just makes complete sense, especially with your process change around the qualification that you'll be putting in place. Mm-hmm. So I've heard you use a word about three times during this interview, and it's the word engine. And you used it in context of saying that we're trying to create a demand generation engine. Tell me mm-hmm. some more about that.
Okay, so I guess I look at our demand generation group as somewhat of an engine. So we have built in place infrastructure such that our leads and our targeting is measurable, it's capturable, it's repeatable, and it is something that has longevity to it. So from the details level, what that means is we've got our connectivity between our people, our processes, and our systems. And we've got CRM systems, we've got our e-tool through Eloqua, we've got third-party telequalification companies, we've got our own people all connected and integrated through the systems and through processes, qualification processes, every step of the way. So we've got very detailed documentation on, first of all, what is a target, what makes itself a target, what can get onto our target list, all the way through when and what activities should have taken place to convert it to an opportunity, and then sales would take over from there. So we've got a plan in place from just identifying a company all the way through a conversion to the opportunity in a very systematic and trackable process through our tools, and our people are trained to use all of those tools.
It sounds like an amazing process, and I think engine is just a great way to describe that. So you're trying to take a little bit of the guesswork and the art out of it and really just trying to make this a science that just runs.
Right, and again, nothing is black and white per se, but with the systems in place, we're getting it as close to a repeatable process. There are some nuances based on different regions and cultural differences, but for the most part, by and by, it is one demand generation engine that spans the globe and is repeatable and systematic.
So let me ask you this question. You've been with ModusLink in this position for how long?
I've been in this position for, I guess, about 18 months in my
current
role.
And were you brought in to focus completely on demand generation?
I was. I've been with the company for longer than that and in various roles. But, you know, as a strong growth initiative was put in place from our financial community, it really became important that the lead generating and demand generating efforts become a lot more focused and targeted. So they put me in this role to develop a small team to help with those efforts.
Wow. And how large is your team?
I have three regional marketing managers, myself and two others across the globe. And then I have a small group of research analysts who support not only our demand generation efforts, but also our sales process efforts. So they'll provide research anywhere from at the beginning, understanding an industry and the targets in an industry, all the way through providing supporting research on, competitors that we might be facing during a specific opportunity. Excuse me.
Yeah, with a team that size, I understand now your focus on building an engine, because that is a small number of resources with all the work that you guys need to get done.
It is, but at the same time, we're in the business of outsourcing, so we have augmented our team with some very critical and important partners to support us, third-party partners to support us in our efforts.
That's awesome. So you've been in this position for basically 18 months working with the organization, getting the demand generation engine built in place and turning it on. Mm-hmm. A lot of the marketers that we speak to aren't quite at your stage of maturity yet, Kristen. So if you were to be talking to a marketer who is maybe at the beginning of their journey with demand generation, especially in regards to building a demand generation plan, what mm-hmm. kind of advice would you give them?
Oh, gee. Well, you know, each company is very different, right? So some companies just focus locally, some regionally, some globally. I think that comes into play. I can speak to what ModusLink does from an international perspective, and the advice I would give to, based on what I know from our company, is, you know, take the time to do the analysis. And if you can't do it yourself, you know, reach out to your sales operations folks or somebody in your financial community to help you put together some modeling. And if you don't have historical data, you know, reach out and do some research on finding what are some of the best practices and benchmarks for this type of activity. And, you know, really putting that on paper and doing that analysis helps to format the foundation of the plan so that, you know, your efforts are targeted towards the right activities.
Okay, anything else?
Yeah, the other part is, you know, it's critically important to collaborate with your sales peers. You know, everything a demand generation marketing group does really does support the sales organization. And without their feedback and without their buy-in, you know, you run the risk of maybe creating some efforts and some activities that aren't necessarily supported by the sales organization. And at the end of the day, you know, we're supporting their needs and their efforts. They're our clients. So everything we do, we want them to be a part of so that they accept our leads and our convert rates get higher and our metrics go up so that, you know, everybody becomes successful. So we're measured successfully. They're given real quality leads that convert into real strong opportunities. So that collaboration probably is the number one thing to have in place as well.
I think that is excellent advice, and certainly we see that as we work with multiple companies, and we see quite often that chasm between sales and marketing just creates so much pain within both organizations. So mm-hmm. I think your advice around, you know, take the time to do the analysis, put your measurements in place, and absolutely have your sales peers collaborating with you, I think that's really great advice. Well, Kristen, you have been wonderful. Thank you so much for your time today. I'm sure that your insight and your experience is going to be invaluable for someone who's maybe not quite where you are today. So thank you.
Thank you, Debbie.